Let's turn our Bibles this evening to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I'm just going to try my very best to obey the Holy Ghost, amen, and help somebody here today. It never ceases to amaze me when I come into the house of the Lord and I see God's wonderful people coming, amen, coming to worship, coming to hear the word, amen, coming to be fed by the word of God. I would venture to say that nobody was forced to be here tonight, that you are here on your own free will and because you love God. Amen. And I want you to know that God loves you. Amen. You are special. You are important to Him. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, notice it says requests, plural, not just request, but plural. Let your requests be made known unto God. And as a conjunction, bringing these two together, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My, my, what a mouthful. There is so much to unpackage there, and I'm not going to do all of the unpackaging here tonight because I believe that the Lord wants to take us to a certain place, but I do want to make mention of a few things here in this setting. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we love you and appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy, for your loving kindness and your long-sufferingness toward us. Touch our minds tonight that we may receive the word of the Lord. Help the ears of the hearer to be opened and the eyes to be enlightened. I pray, God, also that you would touch my mind, touch my heart and my spirit today, that I may speak which is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. We will give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Looking at this setting of scripture, probably many of us, those that have been reading their Bible all the way through and maybe going through the and using the paper to follow along, I am amazed at how many times the children of Israel have built groves, made idols, done a numerous amount of things in idol worship. And yet, God keeps coming back to them over and over and over again. But I dare say that many of us, that when we have fallen or when we have failed or done something that we have tried to, let me just say it like this, get the victory over, that we almost don't want to go back and talk to God about it again because we don't feel worthy. We don't feel I've messed it up too many times and I don't want to ask God again. Thus, feeling anxious, feeling anxiety because it's still an issue. Can I give you an example? And because it is the American way, I would dare say that probably not all of us, but maybe some of us, if not most of us, we have a tendency
to spend more than we make. And have those wicked little things called credit cards. And undoubtedly, you've paid them off and said, I'm never going to do that again. And we've backslid. And we may have done it a time or two and paid them all off and said, okay, get that tax return, pay it off, get back ground zero. I'm not preaching to anybody here. No, nobody at all. I'm not even, and we get it all and we go, I'm not going to do that again. And inevitably, something comes up and we make an excuse and if you're anything like me, I've prayed, God help me. I've prayed, God help me, and he helps me. And then it happens again. I go, oh God, I can't even ask you again. I can't ask you for any help. And I'm just giving you a generic example. But therefore we become anxious, and then what do? We're gonna do it all on our own. Because I'm not going back and I'm not asking God again, and I'm just going to have to suck it up. I'm going to have to do it all by myself, and I can't ask God. However, when I look at my Bible and I see how many times Israel has done this and turned away from God, not just charge their charge card up again. Let me use that as an example. Not just had this failure in our life, not had this issue that we've constantly struggled with. And I'm not advocating continuing on in something, okay? I'm not advocating that. What I'm advocating for is sometimes we feel like we can't go back to God, thus causing us to have this anxiety that we just can't overcome. We just can't get over it. And so we don't even bother to ask God. I'm not even going to ask God anymore. I'm just done. I'm not going to ask him. And here in this setting of scripture that I started out with this evening in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. That word careful is anxious. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me just say it like this. Pray it again. Go ahead and ask God again, because it is his good pleasure to forgive. That's all I'm seeing every time I'm reading. I'm in 2 Kings now, and it still is continually failure after failure, grove after grove, idol after idol. And they keep on turning back to God, and God wraps his arms around them. You know why? Because he's interested in a love affair. I said he's interested in a love affair with his people. And he's in love with you. He's in love with you. And he's like, I don't like this distance. So if you're going to repent and make all that right, I'm more than happy to help you. Why? Because I want to hold you again. I want to wrap my arms around you. And I believe that the Lord wants to wrap his arms around us more than we want to wrap our arms around him. But he's just waiting for us, because every time they said, forgive us, he said, gladly. Look at it. Over and over, gladly, happy to do it. Been waiting for this very moment. Just been waiting for you to turn around and say, I've had enough. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. That's all I've been waiting for, is for you just to say, I've had enough. And he gets right down to business with loving us all over again. How awesome
He is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. One of my very favorite scriptures. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It doesn't even make sense. You can't humanistically think of a reason why this shouldn't be happening. There's no reason for God to love me again. That's what's so amazing about his love, because there's absolutely no reason for him to love me again. There's no reason for him to forgive me again. There's no reason for him to have mercy on me again. But he does it. And I feel this overwhelming peace and tranquility, this calm come over me. And this is that peace that passes all understanding. It just doesn't make sense. I think of the scripture that says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There have been times, and probably one of the most significant times in my life, that this personally happened with me, of which I'll share with you, is when Renee, my oldest daughter, she was 16 years of age when she backslid and left my home way before I was ready for that. Just so you know, see, I don't have a perfect family. That's right. And that was Brother Maston that said that. Amen. And she walked out, and I'll never forget that night. I was hurting so bad. At 16, she walks out, and she walks away from God. And I remember screaming in the living room and crying with so much pain and anxiety and hurt that it was just absolutely unbearable. And I remember screaming out to God, saying, God, you said, that you would not put more on me than I could bear. And I can't bear this. And you said, you see, there's a power in taking the word and using it. And it's not being cocky or arrogant. It's just saying, hey, God, you said that you are not a man that you can lie. So I can't bear this. And I said, furthermore, God, now you got to understand, this is 2:00 in the morning. I'm screaming and crying my guts out. My wife can attest to it. My girls even heard me. And I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs. And I said, God, and you said you would give me peace that passes all understanding. And right now, I've got to have some peace. I'm bawling. I'm convulsing in just tears, rocking my world. And moments after I prayed that prayer, I started laughing. I started laughing very loud. And I could not control my laughter. I was smiling. My going to crack because I was smiling so much because I felt so much of the joy of the Lord. And I said, now that doesn't make sense. And that is the type of peace of God that passes all understanding. I shouldn't be happy. I was just crying, overwhelmed with anxiety and all kinds of stuff. And I prayed, God, you've got to do something and you've got to do it now. And bam. And it didn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's the type of peace that God wants to give us. That we don't have to continue feeling anxious. And so it brings me to the beginning of what I would like to take a few more moments on and preach about. And understanding the setting of which I'm coming from in Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 41. In this setting, Jesus just rode in on a donkey. There was great joy that moment. There was great celebration. We know the story that they were taking their coats off and they were taking palm fronds and laying them in front of Jesus and crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, and giving him glory and honor. And there was all kinds of praise going up. That's there. But then there's just a little bit
little section right there that says that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those religious folks said, hey, Jesus, you need to tell these people to chill out. You need to tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, if these don't praise me, if these don't worship me, if these don't do exactly what they're doing, the stones will cry out. The rocks will cry out. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that. Now, from there, we go to verse 41 of Luke 19. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. What a shift. And this is one of those situations. Oftentimes when we read our Bible, we're reading along and we see certain things and they almost seem like they're going without any time in between. But many of them, if you read them, it was the next day after, it was this and so on and so forth, and it was some time afterwards. And there was a length or a period of time. We have 3 years, 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry or so written here, but it seems like it's going very chronologically, very fast, day after day after day. Well, this is one of those places that it actually was the same day. It was simultaneously. Simultaneously, there's this tumult of all this excitement, all this joy, all this celebration. Jesus riding in on this donkey, this triumphant entry is what it's coined as. Triumphant entry. And then Jesus gets there and he beheld the city and he starts to weep. What a change. What a drastic change in the story. For in verse 42 it says, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now are they hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench round about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And so, just for the sake of a title, I will title it this, it belonged, past tense, it belonged to you, but, you know, it's just like somebody would say, boy, you look so beautiful today, but. And you're like, great. Why'd you even start and say that if there's a but with it? Everything's so perfect, but. And you're like, oh, it just kind of, doesn't it always just cancel everything out when somebody says that? You're kind of like, because that's all you capitalize on is what's said afterwards. You know, you should start out with, absolutely, this is absolutely terrible. You look horrible, but you are absolutely gorgeous. Because you'll remember the absolutely gorgeous. You'll not. It's just a way sometimes we think. And so that's kind of one of these things. It belongeth to you, but, or however. However you want to say it. So Jesus comes into the city, and he said, this thy day, in the midst of all of this rejoicing, do you understand that at this point, this is almost like Jesus' one last chance or one last opportunity that he was trying to drive home a point to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that I am he. He had given them an example, an example, an example. He had showed them this and done all of these different things. And he's like, okay, well, maybe this time they'll see it for who I really am. Maybe this time they'll see, as I'm riding in, they'll see who I really am, that I am the Messiah. And he's going, oh, no. That still didn't even work. And he says this. This is so powerful. The things, now understand, in the original Greek and Hebrew, it doesn't use the word which belong. It just says the things unto thy peace in the original text. So that was added in the English to get us to understand that this was rightfully theirs. Peace, and not just any peace, but the peace of God was rightfully theirs. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And yet they rejected Jesus as being their king. If you just allow me and indulge me for just a moment, I think it's worthy to say he may have came in on a donkey at this entry at this particular time, but there's another time that he's going to come riding back again. In Revelations 19, he said that he's coming back on a white horse. Now, because he didn't come right in on a right horse and declaring victory and all these other things, the first time they rejected him. But the next time, they're going to know. Oh, yeah. You better believe it. They're going to know because he's going to come in riding, the Bible said, on a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. He said, I came to you in peace the first time, but the next time that I'm coming, it's different. His eyes were as flames of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with his vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We get so much from the Word of God that it's just amazing to see. He may have came in on a donkey the first time, but the second time that he's coming on a white horse, and they will see him for who he is. So the Jewish people, I'm not going to say Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, because some of the Jewish people were following him, but the religious leaders could not take it. And so in verse 47, Jesus speaking, or the word telling us that he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. So we're starting down that road to take Jesus out. They kept on trying to trip him up and all of these things, but Jesus made this declaration that everything's going to be laid flat and destroyed because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I'm going to spare you the history lesson on all of those types of things. Nevertheless, it was some 40 years after, about 66 AD, that the Romans took control and laid Jerusalem flat, and they were scattered. And then we understand, and this, I'm not going to get into all the particulars, I'm just going to give you a thumbnail sketch here, that Israel is scattered abroad, and not until 1948 are they given back a land. And that's why I said I'm going to spare you the history lesson, but I want you to understand that it took 40 years for what he said would happen to happen. There were some people that day that had died, but his word did not return void. And let me tell you today that his word is not going to return void. This may just seem like another Wednesday night message. It may just seem like another Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you tonight that his word will not return void. Amen. And it is to thy peace. It is to thy peace, it belongeth to you and I today. That word belong means the property of, or the rightful possession, to be a member of, or a part of. How often are we guilty? How often are we guilty of not embracing the peace that belongs to us? And on a day-to-day experience, many of us fight different types of anxiety. When the peace of God belongs to you, it is the property of you. Mosiah is not going to return void tonight. But while we are living in a world that is full of anxiety and depression and all kinds of things, I'm going to declare here tonight that it is the peace of God belongs to you and I. You don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be full of depression and anxiety and fear and doubt and unbelief, because the Word of God has already declared that the peace of God belongeth to us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And it is at this place that it may not make sense because of what you and I are facing, because of what we're going through, and nobody else may know, and we're crying ourselves to sleep at night, and we're soaking our pillow with tears, but frustration and anxiety. Hey man, I'm telling you tonight, it is the peace of God that will pass all understanding. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I'm full of fear, but it is the peace of God that will pass all of those things. Amen and amen. The peace of God, the harmony. Has anybody ever said this before? I just need some peace and quiet. You do that when you got 11 in your house. I just got to find a quiet place. When you got 5 grandkids running around and 3 of them are sick, you just got to find a quiet place. Sometimes that's in your pickup 10 miles away. Huh? Let's be honest. But we've all been there when whatever's going on in our life is just roiling and we just want some peace and quiet. We just want some harmony and some calm and some tranquility and just to relax our nerves and yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This peace, it also has this definition, freedom from interference. Wow. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, freedom from interference. I've been reading, studying the book here lately, and it gave, and I don't remember the exact number, so bear with me, but it's something like 4,600 thoughts go through our mind in a day. And that our thoughts will change every 14 seconds. So I know here tonight that your thoughts have gone every which way but here. You've thought about different things that I've said took you over here. This took you over there. You went over here with this one. Because our mind is just going all the time. And sometimes we've got to have that freedom from interference. Now, I'm sure all of us have struggled with this. Well, maybe not. Maybe some of you are better than I think you are. Because when I get down to pray, I can promise you on more than one occasion in that 30 minutes, I'm not thinking about God. If you're going to be honest, your thoughts go to your work. Your thoughts go to your dirty laundry. Your thoughts go to the dishes and the vacuuming and what you got to do and the list of everything that's going on in your world, your calendar, your finances, your checkbook, and how much you don't have. Most of us are not complaining about how much we do have. Huh? Oh, yeah. So, and look, I got you all 14 different things going. Right? That's what happens. And so, freedom from interference. I'm talking about the peace of God, which passes all understanding. A place that you can get in the presence of God that is freedom without interference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will finish that statement or that definition with this. It says, harmony, calm, tranquility, gives a list of other things, freedom from interference, which excels rising above all human intellect, feelings, and abilities. A peace that rises above, excels and rises above what you can even think in your mind, how you feel in your heart, and anything that you think that you can do in your own ability. So the very moment that you don't think you know, the peace of God can come in and excel beyond that. And get you to say, you know what? You don't have to know. I got you. I got it all. Oh, God, have mercy. The feelings of all, and it just excels above that. It's all right. You're in my arms. You're safe. Well, I've got to do this. And No. Hold on a second. It goes beyond all of the abilities. Well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And a lot of us get in our mind that, well, we've got to do our part. I understand that. I get that. You got to do your part. But why is it do you think that you have to do it all? It's because the peace of God is not excelling. It's not going above and beyond. You're keeping a lid on the peace of God because it can outdo any one of your abilities. Oh, God, have mercy. This is the type of peace that I'm talking belongs to us. However, or but. Destruction came because they knew not the time of their what? Their visitation. I got to quickly move. You ready? Abraham received a visit from God. However, God had to get him to a different place. God had to get him to a different place. He had to go to a place where he would learn how to build an altar. Therefore, Abraham became an altar builder, and things changed when he had a visitation. Moses had a visitation, and things drastically changed in his life with a visitation. Jacob had a couple visitations. He's like me, or I'm like him, one of the two. Got to have a few more visitations. One's usually not enough. I got to be talked to more than one time. None of y'all experienced that, and y'all probably just listened the first time, and you're like, oh, wow, man, that's just wonderful. I'm not like that. I got to have a couple before I get it right. All right? So, but if you're like me, join the crowd. It's a great place to be. Amen. It took him a few times, but he finally got it straight. How about Gideon? He got a visitation. How about you? You got a visitation one day, the day that you got the Holy Ghost. But was that your last visitation? Or have you had multiple visitations? We could go on and on about all the types of visitations that are good and some that are bad. And because I want to capitalize on the negative, you say, oh man, that's depressing. Well, we're on the butt side of it, remember? Told you all the good stuff first, now you got to deal with the other stuff. In Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 24, very familiar setting of scripture, and said in Acts 24 and 24, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was another man's wife, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ, or faith in Christ. And as he reasoned, as he listened, as he put everything together, as he contemplated, just like we do when we hear preaching, we reason everything out, and oftentimes, because humanity is humanity, we reason our way out of a blessing. We reason our way out of getting the victory. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll always reason everything out. But here's the interesting thing is that in this particular part of the setting, he already hears everything and he gets this understanding, and then he reasoned of the righteousness, the temperance, and the judgment to come. Now you got to put your money where your mouth is, Felix. Felix trembled, the scripture says, and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul's situation here, reasoning with Felix, became so personal, and it generated such a deep stirring in him that he was uncontrollably shaken. This, all this stuff coming because Paul started preaching to him. And I believe that there was reasoning on both sides, and I got a little ahead of myself there. Paul is the one that's reasoning here, and he's preaching to him, if you will, righteousness, temperance, and judgment. And Felix is balancing all this out at the same time, going, wait a second. This isn't just something, accept the Lord as my personal Savior, and boom, I'm in. I've got to actually do something. I've got to change. I can't talk the way I always talked. I can't live the way that I've always lived. And he begins to shake because he realizes this is the time of his visitation. And he's fearful. He's full of anxiety because he realizes this is not just for my intellectual happiness. I am having to do something with what I am hearing. So Paul's words were very interesting. When Felix heard these things, having a more perfect knowledge is what it says in verse 22. Having a more perfect knowledge of the way. So it wasn't that Felix didn't understand. He had a more perfect knowledge of the way. But then you can't just have a doctrine. Now, understand this. Pastor has been preaching and talking about tradition and doctrine. And what's the other one? Preference, right. He's been talking about preference. I'm sorry. I'm going to fall on my face if I don't tie this shoe. preference, tradition, and doctrine. So understand, doctrine, remember, because pastor's been drilling it into us, that it is static. It doesn't change. However, I have seen children that have been raised with Bible quizzing, that have gone through doctrine and literally hundreds of scriptures memorized, and put me to shame, Brother Josh. Put me to shame listening to them just rattle off all those scriptures. But it does not mean it's in their heart. There's something they got in their mind that they memorized something, but the connection, because I've literally seen hundreds of them backslide, knowing the doctrine in the most profound way. So, just because you know the doctrine, if the doctrine doesn't change you, then it's of none effect. Praise the Lord. If the gospel is the, we could preach the gospel, but and that's why a lot of times when we witness to somebody, that we get a little ways down the road and then it's decision time, and then all of a sudden you can't find them nowhere, and you try to go find them at the lunchroom, and that you see them run out the back door just as you walk in and go, were they trying to get away from me? Because I've been giving them and feeding them the gospel. Because it came to a place and a point in their life that they've had a visitation. Why am I saying all this? Let me just bring this all back around. Jesus came into that city. He came to visit. And he was bringing peace that belonged to them. And then he began to weep, did he not? That's what the scripture said. And so can I bring it right down to us? Will he weep over us? Because the peace that belongs to us, again, we push away from the table. We push away again. Will it make him weep again? Have we become so satisfied? And you've got to understand today that I'm not just preaching. I'm not preaching to a certain individual. I believe that we can all put this shoe on. I believe this shoe fits every single one of us. Because there's something that we have with that we're anxious about, or we're struggling with, or we, and there's a peace of God that passes all understanding, and he says, I'm visiting you again. And on my way here, I began to think about this, and I thought, oh God, the last thing that I want you to do after this service is begin to weep. Is that serious? The last thing that I want the Lord to do is when we turn out the lights and he looks down and he said, that belonged to them. They didn't have to go with that load on their heart. They didn't have to go with that load on their mind. They didn't have to deal with that any longer. They didn't have to deal with that pain. They didn't have to deal with that heartbreak. They didn't have to again. Because I came into that house and I came with peace. Because I love them. I love them so much, and I want them to know that it belongs to them. And yet, I guess I might say even here tonight that for one reason or another, there will be some with pride. Pride will prevent us because we want to appear to everybody that we've got it all together. We've got it all together and we've got everything wrapped up in our pretty little box and everything's just so with us. But I dare say, no matter who we are, because we walk in shoe leather, there is a pain, there is a suffering, there is an anxiety. And I know I'm mentioning different things. Why? Because this one over here has this situation that they're very anxious about. This one over here's fighting depression, but doesn't want anybody to know that they're dealing with depression on a day-to-day basis. And this one over here, well, you see, because we're all broken. We're all very broken people. And I believe with all of my heart, that he came to visit again and to speak to us again. I know this isn't earth-shattering. This isn't something that's just earth-shattering type of preaching or, something that's conference speaking. I get that. But there's a peace. And I really don't know. There's a lot of you that I'm not very close to. We haven't been here long enough to be close enough to know problems, to know situations. So really, I'm free from any of that, not that notion of knowing your background, knowing your life. I know there's some, and I've already told you with my daughter, there's some that you walked away from God for a while, and God's been gracious and brought you back. But are you still fearful? Are you still living with a fear and a trepidation because you failed, that you just don't want to fail again? And so you don't feel like you can just totally be free of that because you made a mistake, because you blew it? I know you're thankful that you're back in the house of the Lord. But there's a certain peace that God wants to give you. Let me say it like this. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There is a confidence. There is a confidence in God, not self-righteous confidence, but a confidence in the Holy Ghost that God wants to raise you up. But you're so fearful of falling again. Stop being fearful of falling again. There is a peace that passes all understanding. Stop being fearful. Because the peace of God belongs to you. Hold your head up, child of God. Brother, sister, hold your head up. Not cocky, not arrogant, not proud, but hold your head up. You have a God that has given you a book full of precious promises, and they belong to you. They're your rightful property. It's yours. Quit looking at it as, I sure would like to have that. I'd like to have some of that peace just like that, and some of that joy like that, and some of that contentment like that, and just that, it's yours! It's yours! It belongeth to you. God filled you with His Spirit on purpose because He's crazy about you. He's crazy in love with you. You don't have to be afraid of Him. Oh, God has visited us time and time again. God has visited us here in this house, in this place. Now's a good time for you to go back in your memory and remember, God, you touched me so miraculously over here. And God, I remember that blessing you gave me here. And quit thinking of it as that was only back then, but I can have it again and again and again because it belongeth to me. He also has visited us as we stand. Dealt with us. And this is probably one place that we all have been. He dealt with many of us many times all alone in the quietness of our thoughts. You can do this. Yes, you can. Oh, but God, I don't know. But what about this? And God, you saw the way that they responded. And God, you saw that this situation, I just don't know. You can. Go in this, my peace. I'll be with you. Trust me. I love you. I care about you. How many times has He dealt with us in the middle of a crisis? How many times has He dealt with us with a spirit of brokenness and pain and loneliness? I declare it to you today, saints of God. There is a peace that belongeth to you. And I bring it back real quickly. He wrote in to even tonight. Can I use it in a scriptural sense? He wrote in tonight and we could sing songs of Zion. Hosanna, Hosanna. We could pray in pre-prayer service and worship Him. But in the same service, will He stand by and say, peace is yours. It was yours to have on a Wednesday night Bible study. The peace was yours to have because I saw what you were going through all this week. And I saw the anxiety. I saw the fear. And you got a doctor's report. And you got this report from the boss. Or you got all of these different things that have happened. And you heard the report about your children that weren't doing well. And you've got certain things. And on Wednesday, he says, this peace belongs to you. This peace belongs to you. I want you to wake up in the morning and stretch and say, thank you for your peace. I was able to sleep all night. No fear, no anxiety. I woke up this morning with peace. that passes all understanding. No, the situation didn't dissolve miraculously overnight. It's still there. But there's a peace of God.
And for the next few moments, could we water the word? Can we take a few moments right now and water the word? Water the word with some prayer. Can we water the word maybe with some tears even tonight? Say, oh God, I want that. I want that which belongeth to me. It sounds, it's almost oxymoron, because how can you want something that already belongs to you? How can you want something that already belongs? It already, we've got to get that mindset, that understanding. It already belongeth to you. And may the peace of God rest in your heart, sister. May the peace of God rest in your heart. May the peace of God rest in your mind. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's it. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Let's water the word tonight. Just for a few moments. Let's water the word. It belongs to me. I want you to say it just like that. It belongeth to me. It belongeth to me. The peace of God belongeth to me.